Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Well, the headline in the San Joaquin Valley Sun says, facing a wave of violence, Paco Valderrama seeks to bring calm to Fresno as its top cop. Chief, that's some good words to hear. Welcome to the Power Talk studios. Consider them your home, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Great to have you in. Now, I want to match your intensity here. I normally, during normal times, in a first-person interview, ask, hey, family, new place, weather, the trials of moving. But you got straight to the point on day one. You were quoted as saying 60-90-day plan was thrown out the window, I guess somewhere on the move here, but no longer viable with this wave of crime. Step one, what are you going to do?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been a very busy week. As a matter of fact, I found out earlier, today's actually Thursday. I thought it was Wednesday, so, like, I lost a day there somewhere, right?
I think COVID's done that to everybody.
We're all losing time here. But no, it's been very busy because I literally hit the ground running, and I think one of the news stations said that, and that's pretty accurate. So, you know, priority number one is just to lower violent crime, you know. So I had a nice little document that had a 60-90-day plan, but the situation is what it is, and I need to address the most important thing, just to make the city safe. So it's been meeting after meeting after meeting, and not just with our federal partners, but with my command staff, and talking strategy and what can we do? What can we do differently to start lowering this? And I think it's going to start to happen very quickly. You know, messaging is very important. The message that we put out there to the police officers, to the community, and also to the bad guys, right? And the message has to be that the citizens of Fresno are frustrated. You know, they're not going to put up with this anymore. And we're seeking their help to assist us in lowering violent crime. How can they help? They can help by supporting their police officers. They can help by giving us information. They can help by, you know, just standing behind us. And I've asked our police officers to just increase proactivity. So we have a strategy. It's a good one. You know, it's a citywide strategy, and we think that we're going to start getting the job done.
Now, I was talking last hour about ever since 2015 with the sentiment, the turn on law enforcement in so many cities around. It's been a tough time for morale just overall out there. But get the morale level here, mm-hmm. 1 to 10. 10, everybody's whistling. Dixie, 1, it's at the bottom. Where would you put maybe not even just Fresno, but back in Oklahoma City, other law enforcement you talk to, what's that scale of morale?
Well, you know, I'm bringing one of the strategies from Oklahoma City, and that's communication. And I'm a big communication guy, and I guess maybe you know, being a DARE officer for a couple years and being a public information officer for almost a decade has taught me that communication is extremely important. So I think communication with the frontline guys is important. You know, I'll be hitting the streets tomorrow. Me personally, I'll be out there on the streets tomorrow and part of the day on Saturday.
On a motorcycle?
Well, I wish. I don't think I'm certified here in the state of California, but
come on, man, you can be Ponch, right? Oh, that's been your dream.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. So that's another story altogether, right? But no, I'm going to be out there because number one, I want to meet my guys. You know, they need to see me not just in the news or whatever, but they need to see me in person.
Well, you got a lot of them to meet, don't you?
Yeah, about 840 of them. But I'm going to meet them all. You know, and it's going to take a little bit of time, especially through COVID and the restrictions and the busyness of the job. But I plan on doing that, so I'll be out there this weekend to see firsthand just what the issues are. But we have a very good strategy. Also, you know, building up morale. You know, we're talking about that. We actually just uploaded a video today, and it's my message to the members, you know, civilian and sworn, of the entire police department of, you know, kind of what the expectations are. You know, I want them to feel supported. I want them to know that they have a police chief that's got their back. You know, when they go out there and they follow the policy, they're professional. They treat people with dignity. You know, it really doesn't matter how the situation goes. If they're doing that, they're doing their jobs, and I'm going to back them up. So I think they need to hear that because there's been a little bit of apprehension this last year because of a lot of things. COVID one, zero cash bail two, you know, defending the police movement three. And they need to know that their jobs are secure, and we expect them to do them.
Now, a quote, you're talking about the police department, if they're apprehensive, if they're reactive instead of proactive because they're afraid that they're going to get in trouble or lose their job, you said you're going to hold everybody accountable. Should I read into that? Is that like a white officer seeing 15 Hispanics and he doesn't want to get out, they all have their cell phone cameras, or a Hispanic officer seeing a group of black people and doesn't want to get out because they all have their cell phones or black on, whatever the race is. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean by that? Is that what's
That's a pretty specific situation, so I wouldn't read that much into it. What I mean by that is that, you know, if you're afraid to do your job, you're not going to be proactive, right? You know, if you are scared that, you know, hey, they're going to defund me, I'm going to get in trouble. If I do the slightest mistake, you know, I'm not going to have a job. I can't support my family. How can you do your job under those conditions? You can't. And I think that's what the environment has done for our police officers in many places, not just Fresno. So what better message for the new police chief to say, look, I expect you to do your job. I expect you to protect the citizens, but I also expect for you to be professional and treat everybody with dignity. And if you do that, you're going to be okay, and I'm going to back you up. So that's the message I'm sending. And I know our police officers, because I know where their hearts are. You know, once they hear that, once they see me out there riding the streets with them, I think they're gonna do the right thing. They're gonna find the people who are hurting people, are violent felons or gang members, and they're gonna put them behind bars.
I know that we've had real problem with gang shootings, and when you let people right out of jail, a lot of people to get out of jail, I don't have to tell you this, they don't have any, you know, families like, hey, man, you've already messed up. Don't come to my house. I got kids here. They don't have anywhere to go. We're seeing a lot of homelessness, I'm sure a lot of that, and crime comes from that. These embankments that we see, all these homeless campments around here, mm-hmm. How busy are your officers? I know you've just barely been here, but a lot of calls out there. I mean,
yeah, so it's a major issue, but you know, these are actually conversations that I've had with the mayor and with several city council people, actually. You know, we've spent the better part of this week on Zoom calls with each and every member of the city council. And guess what? They're all very supportive. They're all very supportive, and they want to see changes, and they want to see improvements. And there's a lot of different views on certain issues. But I can tell you that homelessness, that the mayor and the city is going to develop a plan. And, you know, maybe there's a better way of handling that. So if police can focus on violent crime, then I don't have to focus on homelessness. But you're right. You know, there is certain crime, mostly misdemeanors, that are associated with homelessness. So we're going to try to develop a plan that's going to not only beautify the city, but provide care for those people who don't have a place to live.
My guest is the new Fresno Police Chief, Paco Baldoramo. Chief, you talked about communication and with your officers, but also out on the streets, you know, community policing. That's the word. Getting it, you know, back in the day, you know, we see the 1940 movies where the cops walk in the beat, right, whistling with his baton, and he knew people in the neighborhood. Right. That's what that means, right?
That's what that means. And I mean, that's what community policing is. And it's not a new strategy, by the way. I mean, it was developed in the 1800s and the old beat cops in London. Hey, you walk up and down the beat, you know your business owners, you know your homeowners, they know you, by first name. Guess what? When something is wrong, you know, there's somebody there that doesn't belong, somebody there committing crimes, who are they going to tell? They're going to tell that beat officer, because there's a relationship there. So what's hurt us is just the police car and also the call volume. So because this city is such a busy city, you know, the call volume is so high, my police officers have to go from call to call to call. So guess what? There's very little communication. And what do the citizens see? They see a car going to a call, you know, a police car going to a call, and they don't get to engage with those officers. So we need to change that. We need to increase that. Now, COVID has completely almost eradicated that, but there's other ways. One of my big plans is to really revamp our public information office. And we need to engage. If we can't do it personally, we need to engage virtually and through social media, so we can still communicate with folks if we're not there. So we're looking for creative ideas, Zoom calls, you know, town hall meetings. We could do those virtually. So that can't stop. That communication has to continue.
All right. Well, I said let's jump right into it, since you said that's what you're here to do. Now that we jumped into it, let's talk a little bit about family and stuff like that. I know last interview, Red, born in El Paso, Texas. Beautiful city right there. As a kid, I remember sitting in cold weather, it seemed, and seeing the Sun Bowl and how nice in January it looked out there. Yeah. It was always so bright. You moved to Oklahoma City in 95 before your high school graduation. And then what I want to focus is on, and I think a lot of young people that might be thinking about getting into law enforcement might want to hear your opinion on this. I bet it's easier to, as an officer, to talk to some of the guys creating shenanigans out on the streets. You learned at an early age because you and your brother were correctional officers. That's a more controlled environment, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You got to read possibly the because criminals manipulate, and they're good at it too, aren't they?
Right.
What was that training like, and how do you think it put you ahead once you hit the street coming from the jails?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to back things up a little bit. It really started in the housing projects of Sandoval in El Paso, because that's where we lived, you know, from the age of five to about for about 9 years, you know, until my mom was able to, you know, through a lot of sacrifice, buy our first home, you know. So it really started there. And you know, you look around the neighborhood and you see, you know, guys and gals get in trouble and the influence of gangs. And that's something that my mom, although that's all we had, you know, single parent household, she kind of ruled with an iron fist, right? She knew all her friends, and if she didn't like them, you didn't come to the house. You know, she sensed that they were up to no good. So supervision, you know, and like being a single parent is difficult, right? But it can be done correctly. You know, you need love, you need discipline, you need instruction, you need to know where your kids are. And, you know, certainly that's something that I'm very grateful for to my mom. We were actually pretty sheltered because we couldn't hang out with just anybody. So yeah, you know, move
did
forward.
Did you fight back against it at the time? Or
Yeah. So a couple of times we did, and she called the cops on us. You know, we were being extra rowdy one day. Oh, boy, we must have been like 8 or 10 or something, and we're jumping on the beds. And it was one of those days where she was just fed up. You know, I'm calling the police. So we had a male and female police officer from the El Paso Police Department show up, and man, they were sharp looking. You know, they were professional. I thought they were going to be on our side. I thought they were going to get mad at my mom for calling the police. And oh no, they're on her side. And we got a good talking.
And
too.
How old were you then?
Oh, we may have been 8, maybe. You know,
is that your first memory of looking at an officer and going?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. That was. And I've got several others. You know, there was an instance that the police department came. They brought a police athletic league van. And they picked up a bunch of us kids. I guess my mom signed us up for this. This was during Christmas time. Because they took us downtown and bought us a pair of shoes, and they bought us a toy, a single toy, you know. And I remember like it was yesterday. It was a big Tonka truck, you know, with a little, you know, some cool little tires, and the inside was orange. And I remember the shoes like it was yesterday. So great impression on me, right? So growing up, the police were always the good guys. You know, they were the ones that that you called when you needed somebody to help you. And that's the way it should be now. And I think, you know, I hate the fact that perspective has changed, especially in our neighborhoods of color. And I think the media and social media has a lot to do with that. You know, what I'm learning from our commanders who are out there day in and day out is that these minority communities actually want us there. They want to see more police. They don't want to see less police. Why? Because they have to live there. And they have to live amongst violence and shootings and negativity, and they want to feel safe and they want to feel protected. So that's what our job is, and that's what I'm here to do in Fresno.
Look at that 8-year-old first impression. If that officer had given you a bad impression, that's what would have been implanted in your head. So is that what you're entrenching here with everybody? Is, hey, you know, like the receptionist at any business is the billboard for that business. So,
right. Oh, I tell you what, truer words have never been spoken. And my message, you know, when I go out there, and I can't wait to do it tomorrow at 4 o'clock to go talk to my swing shift at one of these districts and tell them, look, remember that impression, you know, you leave a lasting impression. Every contact that you have with a citizen is going to carry for a lifetime. You know, it's going to carry for forever. And it's up to you to change those perceptions. You know, let them know who you are as a person. Let them know why you signed up to do this job. Let them know that we're here to serve and protect, and we're here to make things better and safer. And that's just so important. You know, we can't get frustrated. We can't get tired. We can't get disillusioned with the rhetoric. You know, we got to do our jobs because it's the right thing to do, and this is why we signed up.
Great background. Love to hear it, and love to hear where you're going with this. Do you think that your correctional thing, though, do you think that helped you as an officer?
Yeah, so it opened my eyes, I'll tell you that much. You know, I never, the first time I ever saw a drug was working at the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office as a detention officer.
You had a great mom. If you can say that, you're an adult, and that's the first time.
I was like, what is this? You know, I had no clue. But man, heck of an education, because it exposed me to kind of that manipulation that you're talking about. You know, cons are going to try to con you, and open my eyes to the element. But it also opened my eyes to the human factor. you know, every one of those individuals who is walking into a jail, you know, something's failed them in their life, whether it's family, whether it's the system, whether it's school, whether it's bad decisions, you know, and, in, you know, some people make bad decisions and they fall on their face, but they have the support system to get them back up. Say, hey, man, you're going to be okay. Come on. Don't. And then some people don't. Some people come from trauma that, man, they're going to fall on their face and, man, there's nobody to help them up. And typically those are the people that get into that cycle of crime. And, you know, once they ruin their record, they can't get a job, then that's all they can do is just crime.
New Fresno Police Chief Paco Baldarama. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the POP team, P-O-P team, and also conjunction with some federal agencies fighting crime here in the city. Number one priority.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
He's hitting the streets running, literally. New Fresno Police Chief Paco Baldarama. Chief, has this happened yet? You're walking through the office. Somebody says, hey, Chief. And you just keep walking because you're not used to it yet?
No, you know, I was a deputy chief in Oklahoma City, so I got that quite a bit.
You know? So it was, you were called that then, so it's registered in the ear.
Yeah, it's registered. Yeah.
Okay.
I respond.
There it is. Well, the POP team, P-O-P team,
Problem-oriented policing.
Problem-oriented policing, meaning you target high crime areas, right?
Well, you know, whatever that particular district is experiencing. So it can be, so what's nice about POP teams is that they're flexible. You know, what is the issue? Is it vandalism? Is it you know, drugs? Is it gangs? And they can adjust, right? You know, these are a very motivated group of people.
Undercover? Some of them undercover?
Well, whatever we need, right?
All right, don't say.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever we need. So we've been utilizing them for the last couple of weeks to just kind of maintain things. You know, there was a big gang operation under Andy Hall, which produced some results. You know, the numbers being what they are, I believe they would have been a lot worse. I think the city's violence would have continued to climb if this strategy would not have been implemented. But now we have something else, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, tilt my hand, but I can tell you that we have the full support of our federal partners who have, you know, I was conferencing with them you know, online before I even made it out here to Fresno from Oklahoma City, you know, on New Year's night, you know.
Which partners are those?
Well, you know, I don't want to say.
Okay.
I don't want to say, but I can tell you they're local partners, but they're federal partners, and also our district attorney. You know, she is a very strong, talented lady who has pledged her full support. So myself and the DA have really kind of hit it off. And she's my new BFF, and we communicate quite a bit. But that's what you want, you know. That's what you want in a community that's trying to lower crime, that's trying to look at some outside the box approaches. Is that you need strong partnerships. I'll fully admit I can't do this myself. I can't do this without my police officers. I can't do this without my command. I can't do this without the district attorney. I can't do it with our local and federal partners. And that's one thing that I've noticed that works very well together in Fresno. And it's not like this in every city, is that law enforcement really back each other up here. You know, we attended a funeral yesterday for Officer De La Fuente. And a very, very sad situation, Trevor. You know, I certainly did not expect to be going to a funeral for an officer my first week as police chief. But that's something we had to do yesterday, and we were there to support the family. You know, it was a nice event. It was Chief Andy Hall's last public event is in uniform before his retirement. So you know, we were there, but what I noticed all the local law enforcement. You know, we were going under the overpasses, and there they were. You know, they were blocking traffic. They were saluting as we were, you know, going under the overpass. And you know, I talked to the command for the California Highway Patrol, and man, you know, that's what I keep hearing is just how well our partners work with us. You know, I had a call from various chiefs and assistant chiefs from all over the area, and they're all on board. You know, they're like, hey, whatever you need. I haven't gotten a single no.
Well, that should make us feel good to know, because I guess, as you say, in some other areas, maybe they don't as much. In the last minute and a half here, you say, in my experience, the higher you go, the smaller you feel. Explain that.
Oh, well, you know, it's something that I didn't realize until you're in that position. So, you know, obviously once I was told that, hey, you got the job and we committed to moving here to Fresno, You know, I couldn't sleep the first couple of nights, and it's not the job. I know how to do the job. You know, I've been a deputy for a couple of years at a larger agency. I know what's involved. I know about the budgets. I know about the procedures and all that. I'm actually very comfortable in that environment. But the thing is that now that you know that you have, you know, over 1,000 individuals, employees that are counting on you to make the right decisions that affects their job. You know, I make decisions that affect their everyday jobs. So I take that very, very seriously. And then you couple that with, you know, my new bosses, you know, 540,000 of them, the residents who live here in Fresno. You know, that's who I serve. So you know, to me, you know, I get up.
Excuse me for interrupting. Politicians, did you hear that? Go ahead.
You know, I get up early in the morning, and I, you know, kind of, you know, I pray. You know, I pray that you know, God give me the strength, the wisdom, the resolve to do my job. And so, yeah, that makes me feel very small, Trevor. It makes me feel very small because the responsibility is huge, and it kind of you know, puts pressure on you.
Well, I just want to say, Mayor Lee Brand, former Chief Dyer, everybody that was involved in the process, City Council, everybody that was involved, thank you. I don't say that a lot. Thank you for this hire. It feels good. And welcome to Fresno. And I guess you're here. Your kids are still back. You're going to finish school, then come out here and have no school to go to. You do realize that, right? It's California.
Yes. Yeah,
it's California,
yeah. They're actually going to school back in Oklahoma. So can't wait for them to be here as well.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, new police chief, Paco Baldarama. It'll be the first of many. We'll be talking to that man right there, man. Crime, I tell you what, off the charts. You know what? Keep your eyes out for everybody around you. Look on your street, man. And if something happens, don't be afraid to talk to the police. So many things I read about, so many in the community will not work with law enforcement. I understand you're kind of freaked out, but hey, they'll have your back, man. The impeachment farce. Oh, it's going to go on. Congressman David Valadao, one of the 10 of the Republicans, yesterday voting to impeach the president. Why? He made him believe something. That's his own words. We'll play it all again right here at 5:30.